Coming up on today's show.
Something I didn't realize till I was older is, like, if someone is giving you constructive criticism, they care about you enough that they actually want you to improve and do better. They could easily just not say a word, but they care.
You ask me what I think about when I'm driving through the night. It's everything I've ever done, how I can't make it right.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on location at the NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, my guest is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist who released a new album this past October. Her live performances have been featured on National Public Radio, TEDx, and Zillow, and she has toured extensively throughout Europe. She was nominated for 2024 Acoustic Act of the Year and 2023 Americana Artist of the Year at the Arkansas Country Music Awards. She has also made her mark on regional TV and radio platforms. She is going back across the pond next month to do two shows in London. You've been hearing a song of hers called Along for the Ride. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Ashton Barbary.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for resisting all the cool toys throughout the show floor long enough to sit and talk with me this morning. Let's get started by having you share with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Along for the Ride.
Sure. So this song, Along for the Ride, it started after a conversation with my dad. So I tour a lot across the U.S. and I drive a lot through the night. And my dad asked me, like, what do you think about when you're driving? And I told him, I think about everything I've ever done, all the good, all the bad, and kind of replay this. And so in the lyrics, you can tell I'm kind of reminiscing on these while I'm watching the lines on the interstate and how the ups and downs of what we've experienced have brought us to where we are today, and I'm really thankful for that.
So how does the title Along for the Ride fit into that? Because it sounds like you're saying that you're driving by yourself. So who is along for the ride?
So it's like that I'm along for the ride for the ups and downs of life.
Ah, I like that. I like that. Dig deeper into the song for us.
Sure.
Because I was talking over it. We didn't play the whole thing. Maybe there's some stuff that got left on the cutting room floor or some behind the scenes that people aren't hearing because I was too busy talking over it and they didn't get to hear it. And audience, please go find the full song. But please, Ashton, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing I think that's really personal that is included in the song is in verse 2, I'm talking about driving past a certain mile marker on the interstate where I lost my first love. Mm. And so, like, I used to have the mile marker memorized, but now I like see him in his little sister's eyes whenever we spend time together. And it's just a really personal touch that you might not have known unless you went to high school.
What is that lyric in verse 2 that you're referring to? How are you, in a songwriter way, phrasing that so that it sounds good in the song, but it captures what you just said?
But you wouldn't know what had happened at the mile marker.
I see. Okay, good. I like that. I mentioned in the intro that in late October, you released a new album. That song, Along for the Ride, is song number 1 of 10 on that release. Tell us all about Sent Through the Ceiling, which is your second full-length album, having debuted in 2018 with a 6-song EP. Where did you record Sent Through the Ceiling? Who did you work with on it? Is there a theme that runs throughout it? Give us all the details.
So Along for the Ride is really like a really good introduction to the album, kind of thinking about the ups and downs of life and all the emotions and how we're ending up to where we are today. Sent Through the Ceiling is 10 songs that I wrote and recorded and produced and recorded them in Arkansas. It was my first time working with all Arkansan musicians, and they were people that play with me live. And it was my first time ever hearing all the like string parts and going in, and like I'd never produced before. So it's a very personal record that feels the most like me compared to anything I've done so far.
I have tons of follow-up questions based on everything you just said. In no particular order, This sounds like it was at a studio, though. This wasn't a home recording.
Yes, it was at a studio in Bentonville. So I live in Fayetteville, but just 30 miles north, there's a nice studio I went to.
And so you self-produced.
Yes.
Did you round up all of these musicians that you're referring to? It wasn't that the studio got them for you?
Yeah, these were like my friends that I hired in. There was one person that I hadn't worked with before that was a good friend of my bass players. But besides that, I contacted everyone directly.
Going back to the song that we played, Along for the Ride, it sounded like you were talking about driving by yourself all the time.
Yes.
So these musicians do play with you. Just local shows, I'm guessing?
So I've toured some like as a duo or a trio, but the majority of the time I end up touring solo just because of like the financial aspect and cost of touring. It can be tricky. I play with the band whenever I can, sometimes like for festivals or within 5 hours of home we'll get put on gigs and stuff.
I mentioned this last week, but I have to say it again on this episode because it's about to expire. It's a limited time offer that happens to be especially cool if you're someone that likes the number 11. This podcast turned 11 years old on February 17th, and so for 11 days, I'm offering $11 off the cost of my Media Interview Tips course. If you or someone you know are a musician, an actor, an author, an entrepreneur, an inventor, a filmmaker, a CEO, someone who gets interviewed, this online course will help you do better and get more results when you are interviewed as a guest on TV, radio, podcasts, and the like. There's even a module in there where I provide resources for how you can find more interview opportunities. This discount is just for a limited time, though, and yes, you can share it. Go to interviewtipscourse.com, and then, to get the discount, use the coupon code 11YEARS, and that's no spaces and just the number, by the way. You're not spelling out 11. That reduced price will expire at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time this Friday night, February 28th. Again, interviewtipscourse.com, discount code 11YEARS. For people that don't understand how all of what I'm about to describe works, explain the process for the album. Did you give them the songs well in advance so that they could learn their parts by the day they came to the studio? Did you all get together and rehearse them as a band? Did you hand it to them the first day they walked in the studio? How did you organize all that?
So a lot of these songs were very new. I wrote all of these like last fall and then recorded them the day after Christmas. So a couple of the songs had been played as a group, but a lot of them were brand new. We had one rehearsal and I was like, we're planning to track these live. For some parts, I would have an exact thing, like for the strings, instead of writing out on sheet music, I had recordings of oohs and ahs and harmonies.
Wow.
And I handed that to like the cellist and bass player. And I was like, okay, here's your notes.
Wow.
It's me singing.
Wow.
But they were so sweet. And then sometimes I wouldn't have an exact, like for the cello solo in Lost in Your Eyes, I didn't write that part, but I gave the cellist a demo of it. And then I gave him like a couple reference tracks that I really like the feeling of the cello solos in. So I sent him like an Andrew Bird song and I was like, I want you to channel what the cello is doing here and just make it the best you can that's fitting for the song. And so sometimes it was exact parts. And then also sometimes it was like, this is the energy in a comparable sound that I like, but I want your creative take on it. Like, I didn't write guitar solos. I wrote simple string arrangements and things. But
see, I love that because you're really getting the best of both worlds. You're knowing what you want as the artist whose name is going to be on it, and as the producer, you could say, but you're also giving a little bit of creative license to these people.
Yes.
To do what they do best.
And I think that's important. It's like, I really respect these people and value their creative like intuition and what they do live. And so I think it's really special and important to have that captured.
I think it's also important for those that maybe are casual music listeners, they're not in the music industry, to learn a little bit about something that you said that I want to go back to. I want to give a shout out to Don Miggs. I will put a link on the show page for Ashton's episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, to when Don was on the show. I went and visited his studio in Nashville when I was there a month or two ago. And I also visited his studio in Hollywood last September. Don was telling me that in Nashville, No, we bring everybody in as a band and we record everything at once, as opposed to some studios that will say, we're recording guitar next week. The drummer was here the other day. We recorded his. We're also going to bring a fiddle player in, I don't know, probably in a couple weeks and lay that down. So just talk about your approach to that.
Yes.
Because obviously one of the factors is studio time and paying for the studio time.
Yes, it is really expensive. But one of the things for me is it was very important for me for the core of every song to be tracked live to keep the energy and feeling there. That was very important to me. There was some like solo sections that we did overdub, but it was very important to me to keep that feel. And that can be challenging sometimes, like having the space and having people that can play together in a studio to a click. And I mean, it can be a little bit of a challenge.
How did you find it to be having to wear the artist hat and the producer hat?
I had never been in that situation, and it was tricky, and my resolution to it was I decided to add a half day for vocals after...
For yourself?
Yeah, for myself, because we used a lot of the stuff that I tracked live with the band, but I was also focused in on, like, everyone's parts, and I was like, I can't be fully present and focused on my vocals right now. I'm focused on what the guitarist is playing and what tone is happening over there.
Yeah.
And also, while you're doing that, you have everyone there and their time. And so it's like, I'm going to have to do a half day and then we'll do some mixing and a couple vocal deals. And that was my resolution to it, because I wasn't in the right mindset to do
I'm
all
there
of it
for
at once.
You, girl.
You know?
Great decision. I love that. I love that. So you're still in full promotion mode for the album, including, wow, as I mentioned this in the intro, two shows in London next month. Talk about touring Europe six times from 2018 to now.
So it's kind of funny. I've toured more in Europe than some parts of the U.S., honestly. And part of it is like, we all write different types of music, and our music isn't for everybody, but there's people out there that really respect it. And I found these little pockets of people who just love the Americana singer-songwriter alt-country music. And instead of working on touring and some of the west of the U.S., I just keep going back to Netherlands and U.K.
If
and
it ain't
Denmark.
Broke, don't
and
fix it.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. But they really, truly have a respect for the culture and music that comes from kind of like authentic Southern American songwriting.
So as you've been going back and forth, is it, I just go, I'll just say every year, humor me, to the same venues, or is it, oh, I keep adding because you're going to London?
So far, most of the time, it's been when I come back, I'm playing it's like a better venue than before. But there's been some that I have returned to or that I'd like to return to. It's been like when I first started going over there in 2018, it was like opening for artists and doing some like songwriter showcases and like listening rooms that were musician based. And then after being there a couple times, now when I went back, I played their beautiful like culture house in Copenhagen, and it's really neat. Like over time you get to meet more people and, you know, numbers change a little bit, and it does seem to be like developing when I continue to go back.
So I keep talking about two shows next month in London, but will you add more?
Yes. There's actually already some shows that have been added in Netherlands and Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, all that's on my website.
Wow.
Spotify.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
When I'm over there, I'm playing with Johnny Morgan, who won the UK Americana Emerging Act of the Year award last year. So we're doing a show together at the Green Note in
so
London,
cool.
which is so special.
If you have been listening the last few weeks, first of all, thank you, of course, but you know that I am actually home in Tampa Bay for a little while before getting back out on the road. Specifically, I will be in Chicago for Podcast Movement Evolutions, which starts on March 31st. And although it ends on April 3rd, I don't see myself still being there then, because April 3rd to the 5th is the Las Vegas Writers Conference, and yours truly is one of the speakers for that event. If you are, or someone you know is, a writer of literature, books, poems, whatever, visit LasVegasWritersConference.com for details on that event, including registration information. I would love to see you there. In terms of other places I'll be, keep up with the weekly e-newsletter as well as Instagram for when I announce additional locations and dates. I would love to meet you and say a personal face-to-face thank you for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. If you do, in fact, see an opportunity for our paths to cross, write to me through podcast@nhte.net or DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Ashton, you're based in Arkansas, but have been fortunate to collaborate with renowned musicians and producers in Nashville. For those who are just being introduced to you, can you share not only about who some of those folks have been, but maybe how those collabs have shaped your artistry?
Sure. So in 2017, I recorded my first EP, and I did that at, it's a studio that since closed, but it was a legendary place that John Prine and David Ferguson had called The Butcher Shop. Mm. So I made my first record there, and my mentor that kind of helped schedule the session musicians and arrange everything in the studio is someone who's known me since I was about 3 years old. And his name's Jeffrey Clemens, and he's the drummer for G-Love and Special Sauce. So he's like a father figure for me. He's always been around and is a great family friend. And when I started showing interest and starting to get into performing and stuff, he had decided at some point, he's like, why don't you come over with some original songs? He gave me like a list of his friends, and he was like, I want you to do homework and try to figure out which player you want on this record. And he gave me like some books to read, you know, and about like Arkansas music history and Johnny Cash, and was always trying to be very educational. But so for that session, we ended up having Kenny Vaughn on guitar and Dave Rowe on upright bass, who had played with Johnny Cash in the Tennessee Three. And then we had Michael Rojas on piano. And then I was playing like ukulele and singing.
And this was all for your debut EP?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Jeffrey played drums, of course.
And did you realize at the time that this was very atypical, that someone just recording their first project doesn't usually get access to these kind of people?
Yeah, I feel like it was interesting to me. I went into it like kind of shy and knowing that these people have so much experience that I had written the songs, but when we went in, I would play it once in the mixing room, and Dave would write out a numbers chart, like real time, and then they would kind of decide, like, okay, because I didn't have direction at that point, so someone had to make decisions for me. So I had the song, but they were like, why don't we put Kenny on this? Let's do these drums. Let's add this. Why don't we do a pass on that? And I was watching all of these songs come to life, and then we would go in and do a take or two, and they're all pros, and it would just happen. Like, we recorded the whole thing in like half a day. it blew my mind. But my introduction to that was really magic.
But do you feel that as the years have gone on and you've done more of these Nashville collabs, that has kind of shaped who Ashton Barbary is today as an artist?
Yeah, I feel like I learned so much from like watching them in the recording session, but then also later on listening back to the parts that they wrote. They've like grown on me a lot. I feel like Dave Rowe, his bass playing on the first record, like I was pretty young when we recorded it and I was like, oh, that sounds great. But even now, like I'll listen back and I'm just like, I really love what he did. Like, I truly love it. And like some of the things that I learned that I brought with me into like my first kind of producing experience was the whole like idea of reference tracks, having an idea of maybe this is just a reference track for like a guitar tone. Like, it's not even that the song's the same genre or anything, but it's bringing a like comparisons and knowing what you want and communicating it clearly. Like, watching them do that, it took me a while to feel like I could do it. Like, I made another one in Nashville before I felt confident.
That's fantastic.
To be like,
and I know you did. And so I was thinking to myself as I was listening to you, well, that's what gave her the confidence to say, I can self-produce now. I've done a couple projects in Nashville.
And also, like, my first record, it's part of my story and everything, but I was really young and still developing my voice and songwriting and everything. And it's taken me time to be able to know what I wanted also.
I think it also has to speak to building more and more confidence that now you can hang with the people in Nashville and they do embrace you as this artist deserves our best just as much as anyone else that walks in the studio today. So let's embrace her. Let's do a good job for her, with her. And help her. And it helped you with confidence, but it also helped you with a world of knowledge.
Yes. I think it's like, I was surprised going into it because I didn't know, being from Arkansas, like my experiences in Nashville, I was really surprised and delighted of like how supportive and kind everyone was. I mean, even like during the second record, I had made a mistake on a chart and Chris Scruggs is like just giving me like really kind feedback on, hey, don't do that on the chart. You know?
Nice. You are a full-time musician,
yes.
But that means having to find the balance between art and business. Tell us about your approach to navigating that.
So I've heard like these, I don't know, kind of like dream historical times of where musicians would just focus on creating music and performing. And so far, like in everything that I've experienced, to be a musician right now, you kind of have to do a little bit of everything and like really push yourself. You know, it's like you've got to be okay at graphic design and branding and marketing and songwriting and, you know, it's pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah. Everything. You file your own taxes and be a good driver. You know, you have all these little tricks, but it's definitely, it's a lot. I feel like I've always been really like self-disciplined and I loved like college and stuff like that. And when I graduated college, I decided, I was like, okay, I'm going to pursue music full time, but I'm going to give myself structure. So I actually like with a colored highlighter will like block off like times in my week and be like, it's important to spend this time creatively and this time for booking and this time for content creation. And I'm very like different color highlighter organized, trying to balance and set aside time to be like, you need to turn off everything for 3 hours and be creative.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm kind of, I guess that's considered like type A.
If you think back to when we talked earlier about, are these solo Ashton Barbary shows? Is it a duo? Is it a full band? When we talked about bringing players into the studio, none of that has anything to do with creativity in terms of making music, but they're all contributing to the product that is Ashton Barbary music. And so you as the artist, yeah, it's fun to be up there on the stage and you want your original songs to be tremendous, but your name is on it. And so you got to make the best decision of what is best for the artist in terms of, like you say, things cost money, meals, gasoline, hotels. So, you know, can I really afford to bring this many people with me out on the road, or can I go and just give a fantastic show myself in the insert city here?
And I'm hearing a lot from like a lot of musicians that are at different levels that like it is, even at a variety of levels, touring with smaller groups can just work better right now. I mean, costs are high and everything. Another thing that has been helpful is like last March, whenever I was in Europe on tour, when I was in the Netherlands, I had a Dutch backing band. So it was all locals that were already in a bluegrass band together. So that was a kind of interesting twist to it too, like have a different band when you're in Europe.
And what I'm about to say might be influenced by the fact that we're at NAMM, and I said this on an interview that, I don't know if it was last week's or 2 weeks ago, but Dozat St. Marie, who is a duo that we met here a few years ago, we actually ended up, because of scheduling weirdness, did it remotely, but that was many years ago, and I really tried to stay in touch with and support people who have been on my podcast. And so they came to Orlando. We went to see them in Orlando. This was, I don't know, maybe last September or August. And I didn't walk out of there saying, that was really good, but they should have had a drummer. If it's a great show, if Ashton's up there by herself or it's Ashton and one other player, as long as you put on a great show, no one's going to say, that was a nice time, but I just wonder why they didn't have two more musicians on stage with them.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, it's about, and I know that, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. How much do you think about, I need to put on a good show for these people? Is it more about, I don't have to think, it just kind of happens naturally, and I'm more focused on making sure I know the lyrics and the chords and
so
everything?
Something that I respect and enjoy the most whenever I watch concerts is that when someone's singing, I want to believe everything that they're saying to my core, and I feel like they're being authentic to themselves. That really resonates with me. So something I try to provide, because I love that so much in other songwriters, is that it is a like emotion-filled, authentic performance. And that can be done with a band or solo or duo, and sometimes depending on the environment or time of year, it can like kind of be a different variation of that show. But yeah, I feel like that's kind of like what I strive to do.
I like that, because you are, without saying it, you are thinking about, I want to put on a good show for these people.
Yeah.
How am I going to put on
true.
A good show? By being authentic with my lyrics and really being emotional as I deliver them and getting them to connect with my songs. It doesn't have to mean I have to be jumping around on the stage and moving all over the place. Yesterday, I did an interview with Fox and Bones and Sarah Vitort.
Yes.
She said that she's becoming very conscious of wanting to kind of up-level their wardrobe, what they're wearing on stage. So, you know, that's part of a way of thinking about, I want to give people a good show. Okay, what are we going to wear?
Yes. Yeah, she has a great wardrobe. I love her.
Agreed. But I love what you're saying, because it's not sitting down and saying, okay, what can I do tonight to make sure I give these people a good show? It's, I don't need to think about it. It's going to come naturally. I want people to connect with my lyrics, and I want to make eye contact with them and have them go, oh, I am locked in with this girl and her songs and her words, her lyrics. Good stuff. Good stuff. At the start of this episode, I did not do you justice in that there are lots more accolades you've earned relative to representing Arkansas. The intro would have gone on far much longer if I would have read them all. You can list them off if you'd like, but I'm interested to hear about the support on the music scene back home, as well as what all that means to you.
Sure. So it's been really neat. I started performing music like when I was 12 at the farmer's market. Me and my middle school friends would, for like sometimes 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., play like covers over 1920s to current. I would play ukulele or mandolin or bass.
Wow.
We had this whole like folk band, like cajon, glockenspiel, accordion, tambourine, four-part harmony. It was this whole little indie folk Americana band in the like 2011. And so that's where I started. And we were doing that. And very quickly, we started playing like private events and weddings and all this. But a lot of people in Northwest Arkansas kind of watched me grow up at the farmers markets. Like, we're really serious about our farmers markets in Northwest Arkansas. And we would play all the different ones. And there's a good group of community that has been with me through all these years and watched me kind of go into like writing my own songs and the different bands I was singing in before and everything. And I've been so like amazed, and it's a really warm feeling, the support from my home state. I mean, even with like the Arkansas Arts Council and their support with being on Arts on Tour and the nominations and things like that, it's just, they really want to help promote artists from their state. And there's a lot of different ways that they have directly like positively impacted my career and life.
Yeah. Arkansas Arts Council, you're on the Arts on Tour roster, Arkansas Music Ambassador, Arkansas State Tourism. So clearly they have embraced you and see you as, and I'm going to use the word that I just said there, they obviously see you as a good ambassador for that part of the country.
Yeah,
to
it's
say
really
this
sweet.
Is, and when you say we're serious about our farmers market, you say it with a smile on your face, but it's like, look, this is what we're proud of here.
Yeah.
And we need a face and a voice to kind of carry that out. And here, now here you are talking about it in Anaheim.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you are an ambassador for that. And if that's going to be part of their branding, it's got to be someone that they believe in.
It's, yeah. I naturally am really excited about like the, I live in the Northwest part of Arkansas, and, you know, we have like universities and artsy creative, a nice mix of like the natural world. And I honestly do love it. And I feel really like, I gladly like support that region. And so it's a natural fit, I think.
It's like I always say that I love living in Tampa Bay so much that I should be working for the Tampa Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau, because I'll tell anybody that'll listen how awesome it is there.
Well, you just got to go in there and pitch it. Maybe.
There you go. I'm joined today on location at the NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, by singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Ashton Barbary. Visit her official website at ashtonbarbary.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard her talking about Sent Through the Ceiling, her album that was released in late October. In the store section of her website, you can order physical copies of it, meaning CDs as well as vinyl. You will also see her previous releases there, also available on CD. For those who insist on digital, look at the top of her website for links to Apple Music, Amazon, Bandcamp, Spotify, and even SoundCloud, which is one of the platforms that this show is available on. Social media-wise, she is on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Check out the shows section of her website for details on where and when you can go see Ashton perform live. I know that I am fortunate to get a lot of listeners to the show from Europe. So you heard Ashton saying that it's not just going to be the two London shows. So please look at her website so you can see where and when you can go see her perform overseas. In case you were not aware, at the start of 2025, I started a TikTok account for this show. It is at Now Hear This Entertainment, just like the username for the Instagram account. Do give a follow and let me know what you think of the original content I'm creating there. I've been trying to post exclusives on there, meaning what goes on TikTok doesn't get used anywhere else. So I do hope that you're enjoying all of that. Ashton, I always look for teaching moments for anyone in the audience who is an aspiring songwriter and/or performer. I would love if you could share some advice for those folks.
Sure. I feel like some of the biggest things that I've learned, like starting this so young and doing this for a long time, is getting yourself out there. Like if you're in your local scene and you really like dream of playing a stage in town, I feel like the first step is playing and like honing your craft, you know, writing and performing with people, like attending shows of people that you would eventually love to like ask a question to or write a song with, and just kind of like spending time getting to know people in the scene that you would love to be in. And if that's like supporting or emailing them, you know, I mean, there's, I feel like people can be really approachable, and it's not, you'd be surprised sometimes if you reach out who would.
Yeah, there's really something to be said for not being sheltered and staying inside. And a lot of people will try to make the argument, well, I'm just working on my craft. I'm trying to get better. And that's good. You should be doing that. But you need to get out and be seen and meet these
yes.
people.
Yes, I mean, even just like, I mean, it can feel like silly, but like going out and like getting in front of people. Like if you just started, go out to like open mics and get in front of as many people as possible. And email venues out of town whenever you feel ready and try to break into some new scenes.
Yeah, and if you're really young, the challenge is to not just get into contests where the judges, all they do is say good things to every single contestant. I love your outfit. What a pretty song that was. Well, you need to get in front of an uninterested third party who's going to give you some helpful feedback, because mom and dad are always going to tell you how great you are because they love you, and you could be terrible and they're still going to tell you how great you are.
Constructive criticism, like I'm thankful for it now, but I have two parents that are very like tough constructive criticism. Like I would come home with macaroni art in elementary school and my mom would be like, that's garbage, you know, like maybe we'll keep something once you know what you're doing, you know. But that kind of thing, it's made me a little tougher. Like it's good to get rejections. I actually like have rejection goals. I like to put myself out there. But with like the criticism, something I didn't realize till I was older is like if someone is giving you constructive criticism, it is such a thing you should be thankful for, because they care about you enough that they actually want you to improve and do better. They could easily just not say a word, but they care. And they see something in you and think you just need a little adjustment, and they have advice. And that means a lot.
I like that. In the spirit of collaborations, since as we heard in the first half of the show, that's something you're an advocate of, can you share maybe some resources for grants, for residencies, for that matter, maybe some booking strategies?
So one of the big things with grants and residencies and stuff like that is, so depending on what part of the U.S. you're in, so I live in the Midwest, and there's like, we have like our Arkansas Arts Council, we have organizations within our county, like for us we have like CASH and the House of Songs, and then there's things for the whole Midwest region of the U.S. called Mid-America Arts Alliance. But for every region, like I was just in Illinois, and like they have like Illinois Arts Council, and then they have regional deals and music organizations. So you start kind of looking into for your exact region where all the things are. And then on those websites, they usually have like info sessions. You can email them. They're approachable. There's also like artistcommunities.org is a great spot for finding residencies. I really love Mid-America Arts Alliance with their newsletters and everything like that.
Tell me what got you to the point where you made the conscious decision, I'm happy to share this type of advice to help people out, because a lot of people in your seat would say, there's a lot of competition out there. These people can find this stuff on their own. I'm not going to start revealing websites that they can go on. It took me a lot of years to build these all up. I'm not going to share them. They'll figure it out at some point. What made you decide I'm happy to help other people?
So I naturally like have always been like that. In Arkansas, I feel like anyone in the community, if you ask, they would say, if you need to know something, try to ask Ash and she'll help anyway. Like I have the reputation of always being open to help as much as I can, because I feel like when I was getting started, I had to work really hard to find a lot of information out. And I might as well share that and let someone work hard on the next step. I mean, we're all trying to accomplish different levels of a career, and we should help each other. We really should.
Yeah, I remember last year when I interviewed J. Mike Harder, who is a singer, songwriter, guitar player in Nashville, and J. Mike said, I made so many mistakes and I failed so many times that I'm now helping the up-and-comers because I don't want to see them make the same mistakes.
Yeah, let's make it better and easier for other people. I mean, it's like, whenever I get residency info or grants come in through my email, I'll send it to people that, like, I'll be directly competing with for the thing, but I want them to enter as well.
Wow.
I genuinely do.
Wow. I admire that. Let's get back to the fun stuff, the music creation. Tell us about your songwriting process.
So my songwriting process varies some. Sometimes a lot of my songs will happen. I'll be driving and I'll have like a melody or lyric phrase. And I feel like it's always like there's like a blinker also because it's like a good time to click record. Yeah. So there's like a blinker and I have a little voice memo where I'm like, sometimes it's like a couple phrases and melody and then I'll build off of that. So that happens sometimes. But I've also like grown to really enjoy sometimes like going off of like a prompt. Like I did a class at Vanderbilt. I've taken it twice because I liked it so much. but it was totally different both times. But there was an exercise where you would go through like a kind of prompt, like your first or worst broken heart you've ever had. And then you go through and kind of like how we did, like when we were learning how to write an essay in elementary school in English, we would like make like a brainstorming bubble and like think about like the main theme and then lots of little details. And then spending a lot of time just getting so much information you could pull from later. So thinking about all of your senses in this situation, like spending 7 minutes thinking about every sense and spending 7 minutes thinking about any metaphor that could apply to the situation, 7 minutes thinking about like every detail you can imagine. And like on this specific prompt, it was about like making up details you couldn't remember, but really zooming in. And, you know, I like doing a variety, like if it's prompts or starting with a progression, starting from an idea, I think it's fun to explore them all.
So I'm going to put you on the spot, though. Earlier you said that you're very organized, different color highlighters and all that kind of thing. So when you go back through your phone and you listen to your voice notes and you use something that you go, oh, I like that. I'm putting this in the song. Do you go and delete it?
No, but I will name it. It won't be like new voice recording 2,423. It'll be like Along for the Ride demo verse one, for example. Like,
the reason I'm asking is I can't throw anything away. I hang on to everything. And I think nowadays our phones are always warning us you're running out of storage space.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
always.
Like, well, I used it in this song. I can't use it in another song, so I might as well just delete it.
No, I don't want to delete it. You know, it's like every once in a while I have like a tragic, like my phone dies deal. Like, you know, it's not backed up and I lose some recordings or things like that. But I don't like deleting everything. You know, it's even if I've moved on and have a better demo of something, I like having maybe if I have 5 recordings of a song at one spot, I'll just save one of them. But I like to be able to look back and see, oh, this is how that song sounded before it had a chorus and how, like later on.
Okay.
I think it's kind of fun to look back.
Wow. Something that you're a believer in is furthering music education with online classes, podcasts, books. Can you give us a little insight into those initiatives?
Sure. I think part of that is like being the daughter of 2 engineers, like 2 scientists, just being really always loving kind of like the analytical math and science. And I have a science degree also from college, which is kind of random. But part of like treating music like an engineering job or anything that's serious is just like knowing that and accepting that I have so much to learn in so many different sections of this industry and knowing that there's a lot of resources free and some paid that can help you learn more. And so I'm always trying to like be better and learn. And I found like there's cool conferences with like this one, you know, like all the different classes about like marketing or developing this or artist branding. And when you're kind of a independent artist in 2025, you got to be on top of all this stuff. So I really enjoy like taking classes like the ones at Vanderbilt, or there's the School of Song. They had an Adrian Linker songwriting class that was wonderful. But there's just so many resources, like whatever genre or interest you have, if it's like lighting and design for your band's tour. Or,
wow.
There's so many amazing classes.
I like that you are exploring so many of them instead of limiting yourself and saying, yeah, I do listen to some podcasts. And that's great. There's some helpful ones out there. Hopefully mine is one of them. But there are books. There are conferences. There are so many things that you can tap into. I'm going to do this webinar that so-and-so is offering the week after next. It kind of shows that you're a sponge. You've gotten to a nice place in your career, but you know that there's so much further that you can go.
Yeah, there is.
And it's one of those you don't know what you don't know kind of things.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes I'll take a class or listen to something and I'm like, you know what? This isn't exactly fitting for me right now. Or maybe this section of this is not as intriguing as I thought it'd be. And you can kind of divert. But you never know. Like, you might hear some about, like, sync licensing and then be like, oh, this is my path. You know?
Yeah.
So it's good to explore and learn more about all this.
Tomorrow you're playing here at the NAMM show. This is your first time at this event.
Yes, it is.
And have you had time to go walk the show floor and visit some of the exhibits?
Yes, I. So like we got in last night and I was just blown away. I've never seen this many like creative people in one spot. And it's really funny. Like, I guess like on the exhibit floors, hearing like, it kind of reminds me of like being in marching band and like walking into the thing before the class started, but everyone's good here. So it's really funny, but it's definitely, there's a lot, like, I feel like it could even be longer to be able to experience everything.
But are there any particular brands that you've kind of made a checklist? I need to make sure that I go see this one, this one, this one. Or is it there's some that I'm going that I have no connection to them? I just want to go for curiosity.
Yeah, there's one that there's a string brand called Kootz. And they have a base in like Kansas City, and we're using one of their bases tomorrow, which is really nice. And so we went by and talked with them and tried out some of their bows and bases and guitars and stuff like that. But I'm also trying to make a point to like any product or brand that I'm using regularly to just go stop in and look at what they have going on. So I like walked by and saw like the Shub capos or the Kala things like Gretsch, you know, kind of checking out like some of the products that I use regularly just to kind of see what's going on over there.
What kind of guitar do you play?
I switch between like a Koa Taylor GS Mini, and then I have this Gretsch. It's like, it's called the G9511 like Americana Roots collection, but it's a little guitar that wasn't that expensive, but it has one of those K&K pickups on it, and it sounds so nice. It's like a little parlor guitar.
You need to go by their booth and let them know that.
I know, yeah. So that's my favorite guitar right now. It was like, yeah, I'm surprised how cheap it was.
When you started into all that, you said we. So tomorrow when you perform, it will be...
It'll be me and Garrett Jones on upright bass. And he recorded on the record as well and plays with me in Arkansas and stuff.
Did you tell NAMM I'd like to come as a duo, or did they tell you we're booking you as a duo?
They booked me and said... I got to choose the arrangement, and this was something that like my bass player had been really excited about, like the idea of ever going to NAMM. And so whenever I found out I was accepted, he was like,
"But you,
I'm in."
You could have brought a full band if you wanted to, in
sure.
other words. Okay. I see. So as we mentioned in March, you're going to be, I'm going to say in Europe now, I'm not just going to say London. What else is being planned in terms of live performances as well as projects?
So a couple months ago, I just recorded 6 new songs that'll be aired on this NPR arts podcast called Arts and Letters.
Wow.
But it's this podcast I keep going back to and writing for it. They mail me a book. It's always a surprise what book it is. And then I write 6 songs about like the themes and plot and stories. So it's
so
kind
cool.
of like a mix of a writing prompt, and then I pull a lot from personal stuff as well, but it's always a blast. So I've been writing a lot, and then also like recently I did a writing residency where I explored like open tunings and wrote a batch of songs like that. So I've got a lot of
Who was that through?
So that was just a residency I had applied for. It was in North Carolina. It was in a town called Little Switzerland, but it was kind of in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and my whole project that I proposed, it was like a technology-free residency, and me being like a millennial who's always on social media, I was like, trying to push myself out of my comfort zone. And I was like, I'm going to go stay in a cabin with no phone or Wi-Fi.
Too cool.
And explore open tunings.
Too cool.
Like, just to see what it'd be like. And they accepted me. So it was a lovely little residency.
The NPR project that you described where they're sending you, you said it's like a prompt, you're writing six songs.
Yeah.
Is that on a deadline or no?
So he doesn't give me an exact deadline all the time, but I usually know when he sends that to me, I have about a month to get those recordings, to submit lyrics, instrumental version, and vocal version.
Whoa.
Sometimes two, but it's fun for me. I really enjoy it.
But how do you feel about having to write on a deadline when it's music? You're not a journalist.
Honestly, I can really enjoy deadlines. I feel like sometimes as like a creative person, you can want to keep revising and critiquing things. And these things that I'm submitting to, they wouldn't be considered like, I'm submitting them essentially as demos. So they're not fully fleshed out, like full band recordings. It's a guitar and vocal or piano and vocal with some harmonies. So it's not at like a, I'm never going to change this or adapt it again.
Gotcha.
I'm just letting go of a demo.
Very cool. Very cool. Wow, great perspective. We're going to close today with another song from Ashton's album that came out in late October, a track called Copenhagen. Before I let you go and we play that, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Sure. So this song is all about how even if you're in like the coldest place in the world, if you're with someone that you love, it feels like summertime.
Mm.
And like the warmth of being around someone that's special to you brings.
Is it inspired, I'm going to guess, by going to Copenhagen?
Yes. So 6 years ago, I fell in love in Copenhagen with a guy from Arkansas. It was a friend of mine, but he had like flown over to surprise me.
Ah.
And we were running around the Christmas markets of Copenhagen, being really cold, and it was lovely.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Ashton, wonderful to meet you. Thank you for coming by to talk to me. Best of luck with the show tomorrow.
Thank you.
Of luck with the shows in Europe in March. And can't wait to see what else is coming from you. Really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Ashton Barbary. Do visit her official website at ashtonbarbary.com. As I said before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Remember that physical copies of her new album, Sent Through the Ceiling, are available in the store section of her website, CDs and vinyl. Plus, there are CDs there as well for her previous album and the debut EP she had released. Digital downloads and streaming, look for all the links, the logos, at the top of AshtonBarbary.com for Apple Music, Amazon, Bandcamp, Spotify, and even SoundCloud, which, as I mentioned before, is one of the many platforms that this show is available on. Social media, last night I followed Ashton on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and I'm sure she would appreciate you doing the same. Be sure to also check out and subscribe to her official YouTube channel. Check out the shows section of her website for details on where and when you can go see Ashton perform live. I really appreciate you tuning in to the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you're still with us at the end of the episode, I'm guessing you are enjoying what you're hearing, so thank you for sticking around. If you'd like to show your support for the work I put into making this show happen week after week, year after year, 11 years now with no breaks, I've got an easy way for you to do so. Head over to nhte.net, where you'll spot a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. It's not a sponsor, and there's no brand behind it. It's a simple way for you to send a little support my way with a personal message that I will see. Alternatively, you can go directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Your support means the world to me, and I thank you in advance. That's going to do it for episode 576. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Ashton Barbary. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Copenhagen. You were hiding in the old
We were stuck at the airport.